here we go. Welcome, everybody, to episode one of Two Nerds, One Podcast. I am Joe Harvey.
And I'm Tim Church.
And so here we go. Let's get right into it. We had a hell of a name coming up. We had a hell of a time coming up with the name for this podcast.
Increasingly difficult. We, in fact, even recorded a pilot episode under a different name before we found out that it was taken by someone that already had, you know, some fans, if you will.
Yeah, a handful, but we still felt like we didn't want to infringe upon their shit, and we might release that one day as a lost episode, the original recording, as opposed to this original recording.
Recorded much the same way that we are recording this one, using one microphone, yes. Literally inches from each other's face in a very...
in a very homoerotic way. Yes. We're very close right now. I feel very close to you right now, Tim.
Your breath smells like coffee.
Well, I just burped and it tasted like bacon, so I could give you a little bit of that action if you want.
Bacon coffee. Oh. There's a market there.
There is. There absolutely is. So getting right into it, this is our first podcast together, or actually technically our second, since we scrapped the first episode in lieu of an original name. The name in reference, if you're not familiar, and I don't know how you couldn't be since it was one of the most viral, entities on the internet for the last few years, Two Girls, One Cup, the very disgusting scat fetish video. And so we just, you know, punned it, or puned, as they say in the Discworld, into Two Nerds, One Podcast.
It's now, Tim, slightly horrifying.
Yes. Now, Tim, I have seen this video. You have not. That's correct, right?
That is a true story.
And I explained it a little bit to you before we started recording, but I feel like I should throw out a little bit of the challenge, if you will, that maybe on next week's episode we could have our faithful dozen listeners, dozen people that have promised to listen to this, listen to you watching Two Girls, One Cup. Is that something you think you might be down for on next week's episode?
Reluctantly, yes. Just to say that I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I can take one for the team, as it were.
This is an exclusive. I can't wait. Next week. I say we just bomb right into it, and you are going to watch Two Girls, One Cup, easily the most disgusting thing you will ever see in your life. I was introduced to the video. A friend of mine sent me the link saying, hey, check out this video. It's these two, you know, hot chicks. And I was like, lesbian porn, cha-ching. I'm always down for lesbian porn, a little sapphic erotica, if you will. And about 12 seconds into the video, any illusion I had to a masturbatory fantasy were hopelessly dashed by shit-eating and vomiting the shit into each other's mouths.
It sounds horrifying. And I like the way you were kind of coaxed into watching it. You basically got iced with the video.
I was hoodwinked. I was bamboozled. Two Girls, One Cup didn't land. I didn't land on Two Girls, One Cup. It landed on me with a resounding splat.
If you're unfamiliar with the term iced, that's when someone at a social setting or a bar or something just hands you a Smirnoff Ice.
Oh, yes. I've heard of this.
You can't turn down a free beer.
But you can turn...
I mean, you can, but... Now with the popularity of getting iced and whatnot, if you're handed a Smirnoff Ice, you gotta drink it, unfortunately. Now,
are you obligated then to like chug the whole thing? I'm only vaguely familiar with this. I saw there was a bit, I guess, on Tosh.0 where they described it. Not being really a drinker at all, I so rarely drink alcohol, but I do go out to the bar sometimes with friends. Are you obligated then to chug the whole thing, or just drink it at your leisure?
Well, I never knew this, but according to UrbanDictionary.com, as soon as you get iced, you have to chug it immediately.
Chug the whole thing.
Yeah.
That whole disgusting, cloyingly sweet Smirnoff Ice. Don't those things come in like 75 different flavors? There's like...
Yeah, I think it's the original, I don't know.
Ugh.
Yeah.
It's like Zima back in the day. Like
exactly.
I didn't...
You. You've been Zima'd.
That was back when I drank, and all of a sudden, one day, I was at a party, and somebody handed me this thing in a cup, and I'm like, oh, it's like Sprite or 7-Up. I thought somebody was handing me a soda, and I was like, thank you so much.
And then tasted like Broken Dreams.
No, it tasted like a 7-Up. For those of you that are not from the 90s, and fuck you for being so young, Zima is like alcoholic 7-Up, and I had no idea that there was even alcohol in it because you can't taste it. Next thing I know, I had consumed, if I remember correctly, about 14 of these, and ended up as wasted as I've ever been off of any hard liquor, and I'm just puking up just the most rancid, sugar-laden...
Ugh.
Oh, it was horrible.
It's kind of like Mike's Hard Lemonade is now.
Right.
But they made it more masculine and slapped, you know, some hairy fist in the commercial that just slams down the bottle with some ape-like hands.
They did. They tried to butch up a very feminine drink.
That's true.
That's hilarious.
But, yeah, so, I'll take the challenge.
Okay, excellent.
We will I will watch it live on the podcast.
Yes, I can't wait. One of the things that made Two Girls One Cup so viral, I guess, was the reaction videos. It wasn't so much the video itself, it was watching somebody watch it for the first time, not having really any context for what they were about to see. There was, and it got to the point where famous people, you would watch famous people. I remember watching The Roots watch the video, and some really mean girl made her grandmother, who was probably in her late 70s or early 80s, watch this. Oh dear, what are they doing? And it was hilarious, but on the other hand, it was really mean-spirited. My grandmother's actually still kicking around at 92. Maybe I should make her watch that.
Oh, have a heart.
I guarantee at 92, she's seen worse things in her life.
Oof.
Maybe not much, but fuck. Okay, so you heard it. We'll move on from here. But next week, we are going to have the heroic Tim Church see if he can sit through all, I think it's a minute and 15 seconds of Two Girls, One Cup.
Yeah, okay.
All right, now, I guess we should talk a little bit about how we know each other, how things came to be. I went to high school. Your older brother, Mike, was a year below me in high school. We were maybe not the best of friends, but we were pretty good friends. We hung out every once in a while. So we had run into each other a handful of times. By the time I graduated, I think the year after I graduated high school, you became a freshman at the upstanding Ottawa Hills High School in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Yeehaw.
Go whatever the hell they changed their mascot to from the Indians. We were the Ottawa Hills Indians, but
the Bengals now.
Is it the Bengals?
Yeah.
Do they play Hazy Shade of Winter at the football games or Manic Monday?
I don't. Oh,
well, it's a pretty ghetto.
Like the Tiger, not the band.
Oh, okay. Well, it's a pretty ghetto school, so I thought the Bengals, like, that's odd. Like, Susanna Hoffs is going to sue somebody.
Walk like an Egyptian.
Yeah, exactly. Well, there are a lot of black kids at that school. Wow, that was really bad. Hate mail number one. Anyway, so we were, I guess, aware of each other, but just not really good friends. Flash forward about, 14 years? When I moved back to Grand Rapids, Michigan from Los Angeles, California, because I didn't think any place on earth could possibly be that ungodly hot and dry, my buddy Chris and I, rest his soul, moved into the upper floor of an old house that got converted into upper and lower floor apartments. And a few months into living there, I had finally got up the energy or wherewithal or whatever to go downstairs and introduce myself to the neighbors. And you and the illustrious Scott Mahar were sitting on the porch chilling, and I come around the corner of the house, and holy shit, it's Scott Mahar and Tim Church.
Yeah, it was west side of Grand Rapids. That was a great house to live in.
Yes.
Good times were had by all there. Yeah, but the most epic porch ever. We spent most of the time on the porch.
Absolutely.
Lots of, had to
Lot of
fit
empty
in,
beer cans.
a lot of empty beer cans, had to fit in with the rest of the West Side.
Yes,
So I had to just hang out on the porch all the time.
for those not familiar with the west side of Grand Rapids, just outside of downtown, slightly Polish, very ghetto.
Yeah.
Or very
Just
Polish
run
and
down. It's the oldest part of Grand Rapids for the most part.
yeah, a lot of
And
older houses, cool old houses, but definitely very predominantly Polish white trash.
yeah, but we love them.
As referenced by the badass little kids that lived across the street from us that broke into my car and stole my stereo.
That's true. We were pretty sure they were running a meth lab out of the random trailer parked in the driveway.
Yeah, that was classic.
The camper trailer.
Yes. So yeah, then after I went down and we hung out for a bit that day when I came down to, to meet the neighbors, we just kind of started hanging out all the time and became good friends. And really, but just I got introduced to this whole circle of friends that were all either acquainted to people that I already knew, or it turned out that all these new people, I met probably half a dozen new people that I love to this day that were so closely associated with other people that I knew that it was just awesome. I mean, Christy Babcock, shout out to Christy and Jane Addams and all sorts of people.
Oh yeah. And yeah, we pretty much went from there. We became good friends. We discovered quickly that we had a similar interest in all things nerdy.
Absolutely. Especially movies, music, 8-bit shit. Not literally 8-bit shit, but just anything having to do with 8-bit culture. We were both raised on original Nintendo.
Oh yeah.
So the music, like Anamanaguchi and just any of the like random, yes.
MIDI recorded
So good. Have you heard the
songs.
Anamanaguchi?
Yeah.
I just recently got exposed to Anamanaguchi.
I've heard of them.
It's like 8-bit glory. It is so fucking good. Download them.
Nice.
They're so good.
Yeah, and so we decided we needed to start entertaining, basically.
Yes, I was actually gonna thank you for segueing nicely
Yeah.
into that. For years, I babbled on about wanting to do this and wanting to start a blog and wanting to make films, and start a podcast, and then you work on these things a little bit, but jobs and life get in the way. And then I heard Kevin Smith say words that would kind of change my life, and I guess by virtue of me asking you to do the podcast with me, your life as well. And that is to stop being entertained and be entertaining. And so I think if we succeed even mildly here, we've done something.
It's true. It's
Hopefully,
true.
we will succeed somewhat.
Hopefully we can make one or two of you laugh at some point during our ridiculousness.
If we're lucky.
Yeah. Going right in, we could probably just dive right into some headlines,
Absolutely.
some other good stuff. Stars having some birthdays today, celebrity birthdays. We got Mickey Rourke turned 60 today.
Yes,
Today.
him and his haggard. It's so weird because I grew up with, Mickey Rourke and Johnny Handsome and the one sexy movie that he made that I can't remember the title of right now. But then he got into boxing. Like, Mickey Rourke is a weird guy to me. Like, he quit acting to do boxing, was horrible at it, got his face pummeled, and got so much reconstructive plastic surgery that now he kind of looks like if Faye Dunaway had a really bad life. Like, if things didn't work out for her, if things had never worked out for Faye Dunaway and she just ended up, like, living in a trailer outside of Omaha, like, that's what she would look like.
If Faye Dunaway and I lost it.
All
I lost it. I
right.
lost the actor I was trying to think of.
Who else's birthday? I like that you brought this up, Tim. People who are born today, because so many people always do the RIPs, to celebrities that have died, and justifiably so. Like, we should honor the people whose art has inspired us or just even entertained us. But so little gets focused on, BA, these people are alive. They're born, they're alive. They're, you know, their dad's sperm beat billions of other sperms to create them, and we should honor that.
It's true. Also, today's birthday, by the way, September 16th.
Yes, star date, September 16th, 2012.
Alexis Bledel.
Oh, Alexis Bledel.
Known as Rory from the Gilmore Girls.
Yes,
which,
I'm going to admit something here. I probably shouldn't. I love the shit out of that show. Yeah. It's totally unrealistic. No two people in history have had an intelligent, witty conversation that fast.
No, yeah.
Nobody talks that fast.
It's true. That show bugs me. I was force-fed gallons of it by
your ex
of mine.
Yeah.
Yeah. But she's hot.
Yes, and so is and Lauren Graham. Oof.
Yeah.
You know, the concept of a mother-daughter threesome is always a little weird because there's obviously an incest factor there. But honestly, if, like, I feel like in real life, were I a single man and Lauren Graham and Alexis Bledel, but not them, were to walk up to me and say, hey, we are a mother-daughter. We think we would like you to take both of us. Absolutely. Before she even finishes the sentence, I'm already throwing my clothes off.
Yeah.
Those two women are incredibly attractive.
I would watch that.
And Lauren Graham. I'm sorry, Lauren Graham in Bad Santa when she's doing Billy Bob Thornton in the hot tub and is just, fuck me, Santa, fuck me, Santa. I got so hard sitting there. And I was with a group of people, so you have to hide it. And I was like, I am hard as a rock in front of friends. I shouldn't. Go fap in the bathroom for a minute.
I
didn't.
I'm really glad I didn't watch that with you.
Who else's birthday is it? I see Amy Poehler.
Amy Poehler.
Amy Poehler is 41 today. A gorgeous 41. I've been a fan of hers. A founding member of the Upright Citizens Brigade.
Yes.
And not just the TV show. A lot of people are not familiar that UCB started as an improv troupe, improv and sketch troupe in Los Angeles, and it segued into the TV show. I'd go down on her for days.
Yeah.
Surfacing only for the barest of nutrition to keep me alive, to then keep going down on her. Can you tell I have a little bit of a thing for Amy Poehler?
I guess so.
Just a small. Jeez. I'm Irish, so it's a small thing I have for Amy Poehler.
Nice. Pun intended.
Mm-hmm.
Jennifer Tilly is 54.
Is she really?
She does not look 54.
No, she doesn't. She's still super foxy.
Yeah. I can't even believe that.
No.
Yeah, she...
I want to rename her Count Boobula.
Yeah, she wears it well. She's like... She almost looks like Elvira in that picture.
Yes.
Like she could play Elvira. In a movie about Elvira.
The Lifetime Channel presents the story of Elvira.
Lord.
Bad Back, the story of Elvira, of Elvira, Mistress of the Dark.
Oh, I'd watch it.
Yes. But a good actress, too. I mean, apart from being a very curvaceously beautiful woman, is actually a really good actress. And I feel like because she has kind of that, like, high-pitched, like, whiny girl voice. She often gets cast as, like, a ditz, but really, in some of the movies that she's been in, what was the one with her and Gina Gershon?
Oh, boy. You got me.
Oh, shit, what was it?
I have no idea. Most of you know her as Bonnie's voice from Family Guy.
That's right, yeah.
She was in... Liar, Bound. Liar.
That's it. Bound.
Okay.
When her and Gina Gershon get it on. Fap.
Nice. Monsters, Inc. 2001. That was a long time ago. Anyway. Yeah, and that's it.
Yeah,
for...
she was the voice of Mike Wazowski's girlfriend.
Yeah. True story.
As my voice got suspiciously high there. Yeah, she was Mike Wazowski. Yeah, she was.
Yeah, Mike Wazowski.
And suddenly I'm Jerry Seinfeld. What's the deal with Jennifer Tilly? Doing the voices.
What's with 2% milk?
What's with refried beans? Am I going to eat them twice? Sorry, I just totally derailed us there.
It's true.
With my bad Seinfeld.
Oh.
What's the deal with me going off the rails? I want to know.
Oh, what else? What's in the news?
I got I got something here, Tim. You and I are both fans of the zombie film genre, correct?
Yes.
Excellent.
Me, not as much as you, but...
No, I'm a diehard, dyed in the wool, since way before. I hate to be the nerd that is, I was into that stuff way before you guys. It's sort of like hipsters have adopted the nerd rage of being into something long before it was popular, because our culture kind of tends to get usurped by the norms, by the cool people. Like, the minute we are really into something and are vocal about it, all of a sudden it becomes their thing.
Yeah.
But lifelong zombie fan, all the way stretching back from when I saw Lucio Fulci's Zombie, way before I had any right to, I was way too young to watch that movie and was just sort of obsessed with horror movies and zombie movies in particular from there. But here is a story. I'm trying to find where this is from. This is in Pennsylvania. A naked, bloody man broke into a home, jumped from a two-story window, tackled a passerby, and chewed on her head while, in quotes, screaming like an animal. Now, if that's not zombie shit, I don't know what is. And it's disturbing how frequent these stories are becoming, and makes me excited in a very good way for the impending zombie apocalypse. I've been saying for a long time, I cannot wait for the zombie apocalypse, because I know I will survive. I have my team. We have our contingency plan. I know it's obsessive and weird, but you all are going to die horribly.
It's true. Although him jumping out of a two-story window and chewing on somebody's head, you know, that could just be the cocaine.
The cocaine or the PCP.
Yeah. That did that as well, but...
Seems like all of these zombie things lately are drug-related.
Yeah, that's the sign of the times,
yeah.
I guess.
Now, if they really... Like, back in the 90s, we got bombarded with these anti-drug PSAs with Rachel Lee Cook smashing an egg with a frying pan going, "This is your brain on drugs, motherfuckers." And it was so heavy-handed and on the nose that it made me almost want to do drugs. This, you have your perfect PSA for anti-drugs right here, because these are all the bath salts and the PCP and all this stuff. Like, don't want to be a zombie? Don't do drugs.
Yeah.
Stick to weed and alcohol, because I guarantee you, no pothead ever jumped out of a two-story window and started chewing on somebody's head, unless their head had Cocoa Puffs on it.
Zombie-free since 03.
Yes. Continuing on with the story, the gory scene... listen to the drama of the writing. The gory scene unfolded Friday
grisly
night in Hawley, Pennsylvania, 40 miles east of Scranton, where 20-year-old Richard Cimino, C-I-M-I-N-O?
I don't know.
Richard, we'll just call him Cimino. Richard Cimino Jr. allegedly went ballistic on a woman and two police officers, Patch reported. If even half of this shit is true... You can't really say allegedly. He did go ballistic.
Right.
At about 5 a.m., Cimino reportedly drove his car off the road behind some houses in the small town, stripped off his clothes, and then tried and failed to break into a nearby home. Now, here's more zombie proof right here, the fact that he failed to break into a nearby home, because you can break into a home, just not well, if you're not a zombie. You just smash a window and jump in. But a zombie, being all uncoordinated and not very ground-based tactics, I feel like zombies would be good in the UFC because it's all ground-based
right. Tactics. Close quarter.
Yes. So he tried and failed to break into a nearby home. He was told to leave. Pardon me, naked bloody man. Would you be so kind as to exit my premises? So he fled up the street and broke into another home. This one was vacant. He allegedly, there's a lot of allegedness going on here. He jumped from the second story window. State Trooper David Alusio told Patch that Cimino severely injured his arms and extremities from the fall, but kept going, Tim. Kept going. That is some straight up gangsta zombie shit right there. They are coming. Stock up on bottled water. Get your machetes out, because the zombies are a-coming.
The ghetto zombies. Those are the ones you want to look out for.
Yeah, there's some serious ghetto zombies going on, wasn't there? Yeah, anyway. Bleeding heavily, he found two women on the street and tackled one of them. Patch reported that he covered her in his blood. Then he began to gnaw at her head, screaming like an animal. The women escaped and called police, who found Cimino lying on the road, severely injured and displaying delusional behavior. Again, zombie shit! Despite the injuries and a jolt from a taser, Cimino managed to punch an officer in the face before he was arrested. So even zombies know to just ball up their fist and throw it at a motherfucker.
Yeah. I love it.
I think somebody's going to argue for zombie rights here, that like, oh, police brutality, but he was a zombie. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. You'll have the kooks in the future during the zombie apocalypse that
they have rights too.
Zombies are people too.
Tim, I'm not going to sugarcoat this. If you became a zombie, I would kill you in an instant.
I would expect you to.
And not feel bad about it. I mean, I would regret that my former friend was a zombie, but Zombie Tim is going the fuck down.
I don't know. Zombie Tim is pretty strong.
Is Zombie Tim a formidable opponent?
It's true.
Are you the nemesis?
Yes.
From Resident Evil, what was it, 3? Yeah,
exactly.
Yes. Pardon me. Okay, finishing up the article here. It is yet unclear whether Cimino was on drugs during the incident. Really? That's... Tim, and everything that I just read you, does it sound remotely unclear that this guy was on drugs?
I don't know. Let's wait for the tox report to come back on that one.
You know what? Let's wait for the CSI peeps to do their shit. We need Grissom on this shit. Pennsylvania police told the Huffington Post today that he's still in the hospital and has yet to be processed. He'll face plenty of charges, no shit.
Plenty.
Including two counts each of aggravated assault, simple assault. Well, this guy does sound pretty simple, so that kind of fits.
Right.
Indecent exposure and criminal mischief.
That's awesome. That really...
Criminal mischief seems like you're really lowballing what this guy did.
Yeah.
Like, criminal mischief is like lighting an M80 and putting it in the boys' bathroom.
Right,
and,
or that's just like shaking your finger at it.
Right, like Huck Finn and Tom Sawyer got up to criminal mischief. They were just two rambunctious little boys getting up to mischief with the N-word Jim. I can't say it. I can't bring myself to say it. Sorry. But criminal mischief seems like they're lowballing it. Plus three counts of burglary and one count each of criminal trespass and defiant trespassing, according to the Times Tribune. So there you go, Tim. The zombie apocalypse started about a year ago with the bath salts guy in Florida. Continuing on, it's moved all the way up to Pennsylvania.
Nice.
And I think I heard there was one Kevin Smith on the Smodcast talked about it happened in Canada. There was an Asian guy that went ballistic and sawed a dude's head off on a bus. It was like a greyhound going across Canada, and this dude just jumped up and started sawing another dude's head off.
Huh.
Are you playing Mahjong as we're recording this?
No.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry if I'm boring you, Tim.
No, that was an active window on your wife's laptop.
I'm talking about zombie shit, and you're like, whatever, motherfucker. I gotta get this symbol to match up with the other symbol.
Hey, I love Mahjong, but this was already open, I promise you.
Can I? She's in the other room. I could confirm with her. I feel like you're funny. Lying to me.
No, it's true. It's true. You'll just have to take this one on faith.
All right. Moving on, but bottom line there, always, folks, watch out. Just keep an eye out. Let people know. The more we post stuff like this, the more we'll actually have an early warning system for when the zombie apocalypse happens. I'm not going to reveal the secret location. Those of you listening to this that I've already included in my zombie contingency plan, you know where to go.
Which I don't, by the way. Thank you for that.
Oh, shit, really?
Nice.
Don't worry, once we...
You're just waiting for zombies. I think you want to kill me. I think you want to kill me. You want Zombie Tim to appear.
It was all a ruse. This whole podcast was a ruse.
Nice.
Thank you for doing a little aside. Thank you for doing this with me, by the way. I tried to set this up with a few other people, and it never really panned out. I feel like I didn't really have to twist your arm, and it kind of made me think, like, why didn't I ask Tim to do this in the first place? Because we always have some pretty, what I think are some pretty hilarious conversations when we're hanging out. So why not share that with the masses?
I really don't even know where I am right now. Probably from all the cocaine.
Cocaine? In which regard? We're in my apartment, Tim.
Oh, fantastic.
It's not that hard.
Oh. That's what she said? Oh, sorry.
That could be what she said. Oh. Anyway.
Moving on to a different news subject. Not very nerdy, because I'm going to go sports on you real quick.
Really?
But, yeah, apparently we do officially have a lockout to the NHL.
No bueno.
Which, yeah, is definitely no bueno.
No bueno.
Although it still is before the start of the season.
Yeah, they can work
it
out.
The actual season starts October 11th.
Yes, football went through this. There was almost not going to be a football season this year. Go Lions. But they worked it out. So maybe the NHL will. Are there any, like, details? What's the holdout?
Not really. It's just
contractual? Is it all just
It's all
just money like usual. This bullshit, like, I want to get paid $12 million instead of $10 million.
Although this is the thing, like, I know a lot of the like the Red Wings vets, they'll take pay cuts in order to keep playing the game because they love it so much. I think it's just the owners that are the ones that, you know, want more money, which is absolutely ridiculous.
Always the way.
That
seems like it's always how it is. That's how it was in football. It was the owners not wanting to. I mean, because realistically, this kind of stuff always reminds me of back in the 90s when Friends, when everybody was outraged, the cast of Friends makes $1 million an episode, and how dare they ask for so much? Well, you don't realize NBC was making like 40 or 45 million dollars an episode, so why wouldn't they dish out $6 million for the cast that made it possible? So I feel like this is kind of a similar situation in that the owners make, you know, I don't know how much they make a year off their franchises, but with merch sales and a box of popcorn costing you $12.50, I feel like this is kind of a similar situation where they're making, you know, $100 million a year, but their total salary for the players is like, you know, maybe less than a quarter of that. So hopefully they will. I want to see the Wings win another Stanley Cup here soon.
Yeah, I would love to see that. it's just, hopefully they could reach an agreement because, you know, this has been the second one in 7 years. They had the 2004-05 lockout.
Yes.
Which the entire season was lost.
Absolutely.
Which apparently marked the first time since 1919 that the Stanley Cup wasn't awarded due to a flu epidemic.
What?
Like the Black Plague hit in 1990.
Were dropping.
1919.
1919. So limbs were dropping off
motherfuckers. Yeah, and lepers and,
Wow.
And zombies, you know. It happened back then. It'll happen again.
Oh, we've tied it in. Look at that segue. Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Tim Church, the guy that could tie two things together like a champ, like a pro. Look at you. You're like a pro on this.
Six degrees of separation.
Exactly. Well, hopefully they get their shit together. Hopefully they realize that everybody's going to lose money, that if they don't have a season, nobody's making any money. So better to work this shit out before the season. But again, you know, look at football. Here we are, we've started the 2012 season, go Lions. There was a very real threat that there wasn't going to be one.
Yeah.
Just because of this, because of the same contractual money shit, but,
and I really felt threatened.
Yeah.
That was sarcasm.
Is it weird? Are you like me? I only watch the Red Wings. Like the hockey and baseball are two sports that I guess are okay. I'm a football fan first and foremost, but when it comes to hockey and baseball, I only follow my home state teams. I follow the Tigers. I follow the Red Wings. But if you show me a match between the Toronto Argonauts or whoever the fuck another team is, if like two teams if you give me the LA Kings versus the New Jersey Devils, the two teams, I guess, that were in the Stanley Cup finals last year, it's astronomical. It's you would have to get an electron microscope for how little I give a fuck.
I'm right there with you. As soon as Red Wings lost round one of the playoffs,
I'm out.
Last season, I was out.
Yeah, my interest immediately switches. And
I couldn't even tell you who won.
Yeah.
I don't even know who won the Stanley Cup.
I know that the Kings won only because on the Tell 'Em Steve Dave podcast, poor Walt Flanagan lamented. He actually skipped an episode because he was so crestfallen about the Devils losing. I guess, you know, I'd feel the same way. I'm a Lions fan. I'm a glutton for punishment, folks. Being a Lions fan was really, really hard up until the last two seasons, my whole life. And, like, if they got into the playoffs last year and lost in the first round, but I was so used to it. But if they lost in the first round again this year, I'd be pretty crestfallen. Or even if they got, good Lord, if they got into the Super Bowl, oof, so big.
Yeah, I'd say we just dive right into, you know, let's move on to
more nerdy
movies.
Shit. Yeah, we diverged. We were two roads diverged in a yellow wood from our nerdy shit.
It's true. It's true.
Tim, what movies did you see this summer? You like that segue?
Yeah.
Like a champ, bitch.
Tim,
tell me about what you saw this summer. Tell me what you liked and didn't like.
Being, I lived up north at a camp all summer long. I didn't see any movies in the theater. I didn't watch anything new. I watched some movies. Got into this summer pretty much a Jason Statham kick. With
so bad and, movies is what you're saying.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. As far as action stars go right now, I think Jason Statham, I don't know. I don't want to say he's like a guilty pleasure, but his movies are just kind of fun because they're so ridiculous.
They are. I loved the original Transporter.
Yeah, and just movies. He kind of plays the same guy in a lot of his movies.
He does, and he always talks like this.
Yeah,
he's always very low in the register.
Low UK
and grizzly. I'm a grizzled British guy. Expect, folks, in this podcast, you need to expect a lot of really bad impressions from me. So
yeah.
Just be forewarned.
I find him very entertaining, especially, like, Crank, I thought was just so, like, obscene. It was just...
Obscene and just so, how, like, ridiculous they were?
Yeah, it was so ridiculous. That, like, you got the, like, 30 seconds into the movie, he jumps out a window because he has to. It's just that good.
Nice.
His character names are just hilarious, too, in a lot of his movies. Like, Handsome Rob, Frank Martin.
Quentin Connors.
Yeah, Chev Chelios.
In Collateral, he's Airport Man. Now, that's... A very abstract name. He's Airport Man.
Terry Leather.
Terry Leather.
Lee Christmas. Arthur Bishop. Luke Wright in the movie Safe, which I thought was pretty good.
Yeah.
But he's, once again, protecting someone who, yeah.
Okay.
Heck, he was also a voice in Red Faction 2, the video game.
I never played that. Was that any good?
It was good.
Yes.
I thought it was great.
Okay.
Kind
of sandboxy, like you're running around? And...
No, not at all.
Oh, okay.
It was very linear.
Sorry. My bad.
Yeah, it's just terrible. And, you know, in Italian Job as Handsome Rob, I thought it was hilarious.
Absolutely. Although yeah, he was really good in that.
The funniest scene of Italian Job, though, was the ad-libbed scene where Seth Green was impersonating...
Yeah.
Handsome Rob, as he's talking to the cable girl to get... I don't know, he's like, "Nice to meet you, I'm Handsome Rob, and you are?" And he's like, "My name's Becky, it's written on my shirt." He's like, "I'm gonna need your shirt and your truck. I'll give them both to you. Would you like my virginity as well? If it's on the menu."
I forgot about that
scene. You're so witty. Would you take advantage of me? Yeah, you're not too bright, are you? No. Perfect.
I forgot about that scene. That shit was like, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, Seth Green. Yeah. I love him so. He's
completely
so
ad-libbed, but yes. Hilarious.
He's, you know, talk about a guy that really, you know, the props that he deserves came pretty late in the game for him. Like, he's just one of those guys that's just consummately funny. I actually, unlike Tim, I actually had quite a large exposure to the movies that came out this summer. I saw all the big ones. The Dark Knight Rises. I don't even need to talk about The Dark Knight Rises. If you haven't seen it, why are you listening to a podcast by and for nerds? You suck at life. It was great. You know, it had its flaws like any other film, but we do not need to talk about The Dark Knight Rises because it's fucking Batman. And with the exception of Batman and Robin, it's all good. The movie that I actually saw that really surprised the shit out of me, how much I really liked it, The Cabin in the Woods, took the standard, you know, Scream back in the 90s took the slasher genre, turned it on its ear, made it very meta and aware of itself, and oh, it was so original. The Cabin in the Woods did that, but actually managed to make, unlike Scream, in my opinion, actually make a really good movie while they were at it. They took it in so many different directions, and it's funny, somewhat scary in parts. It's hard to be scary when you're going for the self-aware bit, but I feel like anything I talk about would be spoiler. It's basically the standard formula of five friends, two couples, and the fifth wheel going to a rustic cabin in the woods, and, you know, they'll either get picked off one by one by a serial killer or a monster or something, but what happens is, and you see it right from the get-go, there's no twist about this. The entire area that they're in is being controlled by this, like, secret organization who has to sacrifice, every so often they have to sacrifice these people to appease, like, the old gods. There's, like, you know, the old gods that could destroy the world and rise up, the titans, if you will, of Roman mythology. You know, to keep them appeased, they have to sacrifice people, so they set up the traditional horror movie scenario to then sacrifice these kids. And it's this brilliantly told, you know, produced by Joss Whedon, who produced probably the highest grossing film of the summer, The Avengers, but directed and co-written by Drew Goddard, who's been a sort of a Whedonite for some time. Directed a bunch of episodes on the, wrote and directed a bunch of episodes on the last season of Buffy, season 7. If you've not seen Cabin in the Woods, it's coming out on video very soon. Fucking go see it. If you even kind of like the horror genre, it is awesome. And you get to see Thor. There's a little something in there for the ladies. Chris Hemsworth is in the movie, and I think he's shirtless a bunch of times. So ladies, you get some eye candy. There's something in it for everybody. I did not see a bunch. There was actually, ooh, let me talk about this. I'm scrolling down IMDb right now. This movie, Tim, you probably didn't see it because it was pretty obscure and you were away for the summer, but there was a movie, I'm trying to remember if this is a Thai film or Indonesian. I want to say it's Indonesian. It's called The Raid Redemption. You like the Statham movies, you will fucking love this movie. It is so balls out action. It's a very simple story. You've got a SWAT team. You've got a building. At the very top floor of the building is the drug lord that they're going after. And the entire movie is just the SWAT team working their way up the building. The entire movie is one long action scene. It's 101 minutes of an action sequence, with the exception of, like, the first few minutes and the last few minutes.
Are they just fighting minions on each floor, basically?
Yes, that's exactly what it is. It's like a video game come to life. It is fucking amazing. It's one long action sequence. The minute the action gets going, it doesn't stop until like 5 minutes before the credits roll. It is tits. I'm telling you, it is so fucking good. It's because again, you know, it plays out just like the old NES action movies. It's you're Jimmy and Bimmy, the double dragon guys, and you're working your way through the levels to get to the main boss. And It's a little, I mean, there's some twists and turns here. Nothing big, though, but it really is just a one long action sequence that is this SWAT team raiding this building. And between the gunfights and the martial arts action, this film, for me, was like the hidden gem of the summer. It got released semi-theatrically, limited release here in America. But ladies and gentlemen listening to this, if I have not recommended this to you personally, which I have a handful of people, fucking see this movie. It is awesome.
Excellent. Moving on. I will take you up on that.
Yes. Moving on.
I also saw Avengers. I saw that up the list.
Excellent. What'd you think?
I thought that was a great movie.
Yes.
Action-wise, being very adamant about the comics I read in the past.
Yes.
I felt that it was good. I thought it wasn't totally, with the Marvel Universe.
It deviated a little bit, but for the most part, I feel like in the realm of comic book movies, it stuck close enough.
Right. Yeah. Close enough. Exactly. Which I felt it was. The dialogue was good. The actors were good.
Yes.
Whedon
knocked it out of the park with that script and directing.
Yeah.
Because he's kind of the dialogue master. That's kind of always what he's really good at, is the witty repartee between characters, between opposing forces, if you will. The good guy talking to the bad guy and having that, as I believe, exampled greatly in the discussion between Loki and Tony Stark as Iron Man in the top of Stark Towers near the end.
Yeah. And the gentleman who they cast to play Hulk, Bruce Banner.
Oh, Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah. I thought he was
best
genius.
Hulk to date. Yeah. Easily the best Hulk to date. Because no disrespect to Ed Norton, I won't even acknowledge the Ang Lee, that 2.5 hour haiku of boring fucking Hulk fighting a poodle.
Yeah.
Ugh. I wanted to slit my dick in half after watching that movie just to feel something. That movie was so bad. So bad. And I like Ang Lee. I like his movies, but for fuck's sake, I wanted to kick him in the taint after seeing that movie. It was so bad. Finally, we got a Hulk, and we are going to get a Hulk movie. They're going to revamp the Hulk series with Mark Ruffalo, which I think it will be the first time we'll actually get a good Hulk movie.
Yeah. I would definitely pay money to see that.
Is it just me? Scarlett Johansson, gorgeous girl. Is it just me, or did she look a little doughy in that flick? Like maybe, maybe she was eating a little bit too much bread before the shoot.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I thought she was on point.
Oh no, she was very. She's very attractive, and she's very good in that role. She plays that part very well. I don't know. I just felt like there was a reason they put her in the neck to ankles black suit. Black is slimming.
Yeah, that's and true.
She still looked slightly chunky in the slimming black suit. I'm just saying. Like, I would still totally finger her butthole.
I would still go right in. In case you didn't know that this wasn't a PG-rated podcast.
Oh, yeah. We're absolutely going for the fucking mature rating.
Yeah. This is definitely...
Yes, there will be a lot of... Yeah, not for children's ears.
Yeah.
We are going to talk a lot about fisting.
You're going to talk a lot about fisting.
Yeah, don't expect a whole lot of class out of me.
Yeah.
At least not in this.
And I'll try to be less classy for you, Joe. How about that?
Will you?
I'll try.
Well, someone has to be the class of the piece.
It's true. I don't know.
Anyway.
Moving on to another movie I finally saw.
Ah, what did you see, Tim? Who the fuck is texting? My phone has been going off the hook. I'm like, motherfucker. Anyway, go on.
I finally saw Tropic Thunder.
What?
Yeah.
You had never seen Tropic Thunder?
I hadn't seen it until this summer.
What is wrong
with
you?
I don't know. I thought that movie was great.
It is. It absolutely is.
I had my doubts going into it because I thought maybe Jack Black would just steal it with a whole bunch of his shenanigans.
Right.
No diss in Jack Black. I think he's fucking hilarious.
Right, but tends to chew the scenery around everybody.
He
else.
Does, yeah, and he's the center of attention kind of guy. Right. He is, you know.
Movies need to be built around him, but
right?
You know, like
airplanes and other seats and other things that need to be built around him.
Built around. Was that it? Wait, whoa! Was that a fat joke?
That was a fat joke. In case you didn't pick it, yeah. I went there.
Yeah,
see,
I told you I was going to try and be less classy for you, Joe. The fatties are going to come after you. I feel like the slightly racist remark I made earlier is completely usurped by you dissing the fatties.
No, not really. Just Jack Black.
Just Jack Black.
And those of you, I don't know, he's slimming up a little
but
bit.
But he played nicely with others. I agree. Jack Black, I find him funny when not overexposed.
Yeah.
But because of his style of comedy and just who he is, does tend to steal scenes, chew the scenery around the other actors. Things really need to be built around him. But he played nicely with others. He got on the playground with the other actors, with Robert Downey Jr., with Ben... Fuck.
Stiller.
Ben Stiller, sorry.
Yeah, and I am not a Ben Stiller fan.
And can I just say, Jay Baruchel, who's an actor that you've seen in a lot of things, but probably don't know his name, as soon as you see his face in the movie, you'll know exactly who he is, really held his own with some heavyweights there. That, taking myself out of the movie for a minute and looking at it sort of from a critical perspective, that kid... who is a much younger actor, less experienced than all those guys. Yeah, the nerdy kid in the glasses.
Yeah, exactly.
Man, for a kid that was thrown in there with some serious heavyweights like Robert Downey Jr. and Ben Stiller and Jack Black, that kid held his own and was just as funny as those guys.
I love that kind of movie because it's the whole, like, it dabbles on breaking the fourth wall kind of thing. Like,
yes.
They're actors that they think that they're in a movie.
Right, but it's
but
all
they're
real.
Thrown in. That's why Galaxy Quest is still one of my favorite movies.
Oh, I love Galaxy Quest so much.
Hands down, Tim Allen's best piece of work.
Easily his best work.
Alan Rickman is just a genius.
Yes.
Sigourney Weaver,
looking quite foxy in that movie.
Yeah, well, still, that movie's like 10 or 12 years old now.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I don't know, as I get older, time warps and everything sort of blends in. I'll talk about one more film that I saw this summer that was really good, and then we should probably think about wrapping this bitch up. 13 years ago. Chronicle. Have you heard of this film, Tim?
I have. I did not see it, though.
Oh, Chronicle was awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, I have had an assful of these POV found footage films.
Ugh.
Between Cloverfield and all these...
Blair Witch.
And it started there, and now, like, every other week...
I'm so startled.
Exactly. What's going on? Oh, my God. You know, I've had an assful of them. Some of them have good moments, but really, by and large, most of them, two-thirds of them fall completely flat. Chronicle is found footage POV, but the story is so good, and the cast that they got is so good. You almost forget that you're watching these kids filming themselves. Very simple story. Plays on a lot of the... plays out a lot like the 80s sci-fi films. I felt personally that it very easily could have been a movie that they made, you know, 20, 25 years ago. Story about three high school friends, one of whom is like an incurable nerd, can't talk to girls, but his friend is a really cool guy. His friend is like the in-betweener. He's the guy that's, you know, down with the cool kids, but also hangs with the nerdy guy. And the jock, the popular black football player jock kid that everybody
Johnny
loves.
Football star.
They all end up going to this sort of rave party. They get sort of are hanging out in the woods outside of the rave, and there is an asteroid that hits. They go down into the thing, they find the asteroid, they touch it, zoom, they have superpowers. And they can fly. But the whole movie is they break out the camcorder, and record themselves, like, figuring out their powers and how it works. And I don't think I'm really... spoiler alert I'll just say that right now. I mean, I don't think it's really spoiling anything, but the nerdy kid who was in his shell, who finally gets a little bit of popularity, eventually goes bad. And it just plays out so well. It was so well written. Got some positive like news, like it was kind of out there, but I feel like it suffered from a lack of good marketing. They didn't market it as a science fiction adventure, which it really is. They kind of marketed it as just like another, here's another
teenage with powers. Yeah, teenagers with powers.
Here's another, you know, thing that Hollywood crapped out, which sometimes the summer popcorn turds that Hollywood craps out are perfectly fine to watch. I'm not dissing those movies, but this absolutely was not one of those. This plays out like a combination of a Hollywood popcorn poop and like a good art house flick with a budget. It is so good. So highly, highly, highly recommend both. What did we talk about? Highly recommend Cabin in the Woods, Chronicle, Tropic Thunder.
Yeah.
And if you haven't seen The Avengers, get the fuck outside.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, live in the world for a minute. We're going to talk about more next week. Ladies and gentlemen, to recap, once again, ladies and gentlemen, next week, first of all, I digress for a moment. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. The fact that you even bothered to let us suck an hour out of your life with something that hopefully made you laugh, we really, truly appreciate it. You know, thank you so much for bothering to give us, you know, a try. Hopefully you stick around. It can only get better from here,
yeah,
Tim.
We can only go up from here.
Yes. Hopefully, you know, as we sharpen up our podcasting skills with a Z, you know, hopefully you'll keep listening.
And hopefully we can get two microphones going here soon.
Sorry for the homoerotic setup. The software that we're recording this on, for some reason, only allows one microphone.
He's been blowing in my ear for an hour, and
it's the beard, man.
I don't know, the turkey's done.
You're my beard. You're just too fucking sexy sitting next to me. My wife is in the other room. My beautiful curvy brunette of a wife is laying in the other room, yet here I am sitting shoulder to shoulder with you.
Whispering sweet nothings about movies in my ear.
Yes, sweet, sweet nothings. Wow, at this point, yeah, we're really just kind of starting to ramble. Check us out on Facebook. We are Two Nerds, the number two nerds, comma, one podcast. We're going to have a lot of stuff up. We'll have the links up there. Also, you can check us out on comicfiction.com. You can also check out my weekly series of articles that'll be popping up every Wednesday on comicfiction.com. Also, check out some of the little goofy little films that we've shot. We've got a lot of stuff coming up on that site. We update at least once a week, if not twice a week. So remember to listen to Two Nerds, One Podcast. I almost said Two Nerds, One Cup. That's a whole nother podcast right there.
Yeah.
Make sure you give us a listen. Facebook, go to comicfiction.com, and thank you for listening,
Tim.
Yeah,
we definitely appreciate it. Mickey Rourke looks like if Faye Dunaway and Ron Perlman had a love child. That's who I was trying to think of.
That was treated
poorly.
Ron
Perlman. Yes, a battered love child.
Grew up in a trailer.
There's your Mickey Rourke. That's the connection I was trying to make.
What do you think the odds are that Mickey Rourke will ever hear this? Because I'm pretty sure even at his age that he could kick my ass. Like, I'm no slouch. I can throw a punch, but I feel like Mickey Rourke could beat my ass.
He could just distract him with an Oscar, like, look up here, buddy, and then throw it that way, and then he'll run after that. And
The
then
Wrestler was a really good movie. Look over here.
Yeah, yeah. And that's all.
And that is all. Again, thank you so much for listening. You know, check us out some more, why don't you?
Have a good night.
All right.
Have a good day.
All right. Peace out, bitches.
Peace.